Saying good morning, I'm going to say praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome to Jenkins this morning. Do we have any visitors today?
We have the Chastains right behind the couches, and it is Brian and Justin. We have two children.
Great.
And I've had it in prize on my hand.
Well, his scratch pad. Glad to have you. Charlie, has your brother and sister been here before? Your sister and your brother-in-law been here before? Okay, thank you.
You know, I believe Matthew has been here for Sunday's worship. He's been a regular for a couple of years on Wednesday, so we welcome Matthew the other
time. Hello, Matthew. Announcements are in your bulletins this morning. One I would like to make, of course, you know, we have a pastor appreciation meal tonight, spaghetti supper. All are welcome. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? Yes, Julie.
Coming in, I'd like to remind everybody about our Operation Christmas Child collection that's going on. There's pictures with all kinds of information on it, and the phone payment, the narcotics. The thing you'd like to remind you of today, like you're coming up, like to donate money to the
Any other announcements? You were going to say something else?
There's an insert concerning the elder election. We will need four sometime in December to elect. We need some. This is the first time we've given this many opportunities for nominations or for suggestions from the congregation. And we have kind of overlooked that and kind of hit us over the head. Somebody, another church did this, and we said, hey, we should have been doing that. So, that little sheet there that I have.
I think Sam has passed out the attendance registers. If you would, please sign and make note of being in morning service.
You doing an announcement?
Yes.
Okay, no, I announced last week that we would go and help the lady with the tornado damage on November the 1st. That's not correct. We're going to go the 8th, November the 8th, because the bazaar is the 1st. Too many activities. But anyway, we'll be going up there and trying to get done on that. We, LD and Obadiah from Kentucky, went up there and got some of the siding done last week, 2 weeks ago now. So that's what we're going to do. I guess it was last week. No, 2 days.
It was.
Any other?
We're already caught up here, but we won't stop the Council of Counties in that day.
All right.
Lewis, both of them I think I had turned on, but it was 54, 30 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago in the sanctuary. And maybe it's got over. What does that over?
Well, this got to get in the 30s before I go to long sleeves, so I'm just wondering. What about prayer or praise requests? Any this morning?
Sharon Gardner, Sherry, all went to King Fiddle last week, and Sharon fell and broke her wrist. So, there, Sherry's telling everybody what kind of condition the third world hospital is, so evidently it wasn't a good experience. But Sharon Gardner, she broke her arm in King Fiddle.
And I think she's already had an ankle problem, so it didn't help. Any others at this time? Okay. Okay, if you would, for this... let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts to worship the Lord. Amen. Our gathering words this morning are from Exodus 33, Psalm 99, Matthew 22. They are responsive. The earth has its kings, but God is ruler of all.
Praise God above all, the giver of life.
The mountains may tremble, the oceans roar.
But God's presence is more powerful than the earth itself.
Come into God's presence, for God is among us now. Come to the rock, the God of life, the God is present now. For God is present now. The hymn this morning is in your renewal. It's number 247. Would you stand, please?
And we're going to start on the right hand page with the verses, okay? Verses 1 and 2. But they're also up on the screen. Oh,
to the west, to my left, and the sun shining upon the mountainside. Colors are changing, and just a worship experience, seeing the creation of God and the paintbrush of God. But as we come this morning, we come to be shined upon by the Spirit of God, our God Himself. Lord God, we bow before You. We have come to worship You. Lord, we want Your name to be praised and glorified. Oh Lord, we want to know Your presence in a special way. We want to be able to express our thanks and appreciation for Your goodness to us, especially that You have called us to be a part of Your family throughout eternity. And Lord, we pray that You would so move in us that we would be able and willing to invite others to come and join Your family or be adopted into Your family, as the Scriptures say, through our faith in Jesus Christ. Thank You for this welcome that You give to all who will come through Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. And we pray now that prayer that He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now time for our Apostles' Creed. It's in unison. It's behind me, or it's in number 716 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning is from Matthew 11:28. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This morning when we say our prayer confession, about halfway we will pause for silent confession. Join with me if you would. Loving God, each week we're scheduled to confess our sins. As you well know, we don't always do that. Sometimes we're too tired from the events of Saturday. Often we just can't focus on confession. It's not that we think we're too good for confession or that we have no sins to confess. No, Lord, we know that we're messed up. We know that we are not all that You want us to be. So today, hear our confession of sins. Amen. Lord, we would be awfully selfish if we prayed for ourselves and not for others, although that's what we do often. We don't do it today. We pray for our families. We pray for our friends. We pray for our country. We pray for our world. Lord, let a fresh breath of your Holy Spirit blow over their lives, this land, and the planet where you placed it. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness from Matthew 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you would, turn in the hymnal, please, to number 189.
It's our regular hymnal this time, the hymnal. I know that can be confusing at times. Calvary covers it all.
Calvary covers it all.
scripture sentence this morning from Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you showed for His sake in serving the saints as you still do. Would our ushers come forward, please? Sings for us today, Nikki will read scripture.
Open But I'm already crying, so I might as well tell you. Dad was on one side of her bed, and I was on the other, and I had my feet propped on her bed. And we were going through the hymnal and just singing some things to her. The last song I was singing was Zion's Hill, before I realized that she was gone. And don't cry, because I'm not crying because she's gone, because she's so much better. And she passed so sweetly. It was just quietly from this world to the next. And this is absolutely one of my favorite songs, but I knew that it would always be a hard song to sing, so I thought, well, I might as well sing it and get it over with and go and cry and do all that stuff. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the other song we sang, that Calvary covers it all. I couldn't sing the words. I just read the words. And Calvary covers it all. And we have a hope on Zion's Hill. I'm so thankful for that. I will try and sing this last verse. Today the clouds will all be lifted, and all the night of gloom be past. And all my sins will be lifted. The day of rest will come at last. Someday, beyond the reach of mortal care, someday, God only will just pray and reign. The wheel of mortal shall stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. When the wheels of this mortal life will all stand still, and we shall go to dwell on Zion's hill.
This morning's scripture comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. Then they They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us come from the coming wrath. The Word of God for the people of God.
The church. We are together as a church this morning. As if you didn't know, what about the church? Have you ever seen or been a part of a perfect church? There is no such thing. There is no such institution. But there is in 1 Thessalonians the description of a very good example church. But it was far from being a perfect church. One of their strong points became a weak point for them. As they waited on Jesus, some of them just quit work and folded their hands, so to speak, and were just waiting and depended on others, or so it appears, to take care of them. So Paul had to, while he bragged on them for waiting on Jesus to return, or waiting for Him to return, he had to say, get busy, folks. Get busy. So I proclaim there is no perfect church. One reason is people. People in ministry often say, and that is most areas of ministry, I've heard it, that the church would be wonderful if it wasn't for people. But you see, we are people too, so if it wasn't for us, we may be the most problem, even those who are, I guess you could say, professional ministers, are in the ministry as a profession. The profession of ministry would be wonderful if it wasn't for the people involved in it. So I take the blame too, and many churches I have observed, probably the worst fault, or the greatest fault, the biggest fault, is the ministry. And it's up to the church, the congregation, the leaders of the church, to fix that problem when it becomes evident. And that's biblical, and it's according to our form of government. So, people make up the church, lay people and ministry, or clergy, or other persons in ministry. But because people are involved, we would never find a perfect church. And then there's Satan. Satan keeps enticing people. And we know from Matthew and Luke how Satan came to Jesus to entice Him. And I've often said, or maybe just wish I'd said, or thought at least, if Satan will come and entice to do wrong the very Son of God, Jesus, why should we expect to be exempt from his enticement? And he comes in such sneaky ways. Wow. And he slips up on us and comes in our weakest moments. And there may be other influences or other reasons that the church is not perfect, but I think we could say people and Satan. And we want people to stay involved in the church, even without our being perfect. Jesus has died to take away or to pay for our imperfections, and we just want Satan to stay away from us. Be gone, Satan! Get behind us. Satan is always, though, trying to get us to do things that are wrong and to not do that which is right and good, that which needs to be done and God would call us to do. He calls us to ignore it. But warning has often been given. Given to me. And given to others. If you find a perfect church, don't become a part of it. Don't join it. Because you will make it less than perfect. And I'm aware of that. There is no such thing as a perfect church. And if it was, when we got there with our stumblings and our failings, it would be less than perfect. I still remember going to a conference in my early years of ministry, and there was a young preacher there a few years advance from me, and we were talking about this church or the fallacies of the church, and he stood up and he described the church that he wanted to be pastor of. And I was younger and less wise by all common understanding, but I could see it will never happen. And our calling is not to take a perfect group and just enjoy their presence. But if we find a less than perfect or one that's in shambles, it's our task to help that church get on the right road, point them in the right direction. So I think he was looking for a utopia. Well, sad to say, he didn't stay in the ministry. Ended up having another secular job, social service type job, and preaching occasionally. Because he never found that great ideal situation. The first century church, are the churches of the first century, and there were many that we have record of. They were certainly less than perfect. Paul wrote, I think I counted 7 letters that he wrote, and then we have mentioned in Revelation, I think, 7 churches, and one of the churches in Revelation was one of the ones that Paul dealt with quite extensively. If you go back and read the 2nd and 3rd chapters of Revelation and see the description of the churches there, or the word that God spoke concerning these churches, they were certainly not perfect churches. One of them was, well, it was the almost ideal, and seemingly any preacher would like to go there. I mean, even my friend would have liked to have gone to that church that I just mentioned at the conference some time ago. But they were
not perfect, or less than perfect. But on the other hand, there's another side to every coin, right? Another side to every situation. There was something good about every one of them, except maybe one. And I didn't go into detail or an extensive study of this, but just reading the passages, what's said from the surface. Laodicea, there's not much good said about that. Not much good said about that one. So I went back and read it again. It's the one that God wanted to spew out of his mouth. Or it was so bad it made God want to vomit. And it was lukewarm. Lukewarm. Was neither hot nor cold. But the rest of them, as you read John's message that God spoke through him to the seven churches of Asia, this, it's good. But I have this against you. Or this is the problem, and you can read those descriptions or situations in the book of Revelation. The churches that the Apostle Paul wrote to, I think I counted 7 letters. They were to correct. The letters that he wrote were to correct something that needed correction, as well as words of encouragement. But it was a great bit more than just saying, "Howdy, folks. Howdy, folks." I have been accused, and my family, of only bringing up subjects that need to be corrected. Well, they're a little nicer than I am, the other members of my family, and they don't bring up all of my faults till I bring up their faults. Y'all kind of understand the situation, see? My understanding is, if things are going smooth, you don't need to say anything. But that's limited. That's not right. We should praise people who are doing good. And sometimes it's good just to say howdy or write a letter. Just wanted to call to say hi. Or just drop by to say hi. Even the cleaning person at this church, she started to work and here, and she was doing a great job, a real good job, and the one that's cleaning the church now. And she has a friend that asked me, "How's she doing?" And I said, "Well, she's doing real good, real good." And so this friend said, "Well, she was concerned because she never said anything positive about her." I said, "Well, that was really, it's just good. I don't see the need." So even in that situation, I started leaving little notes or dropping by when she was working and saying, "Doing a good job, doing a good job." But this week, I had to leave a little note that said, "There's some big spots that need some attention." So I'm trying to be fair and brag on the ones that need to be bragged on. When considering examples, I see the Thessalonican church, or the church at Thessalonica, is to be in a good example church. But when we consider examples, some are good examples and some are not so good. And yes, this applies even when we're talking about God's people. Bumper sticker I used to say a lot, "Christians aren't perfect." So the rest of the world wants to act like or talk about us in our failings when we do stumble. "Christians aren't perfect, just forgive them." The church at Thessalonica was, and as we read it, it still is, an example church, a good example church. Everything was not perfect, but I want to call your attention to a few things that were. Now, let me say, we won't cover everything that needs to be covered or could rightly be covered in this passage. There's much more than I can cover in the time allotted. In this church, the gospel was preached. In this church, Thessalonica, the gospel was preached, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul was not giving, or others were not giving, just so many words that were words. The Spirit of the Lord was blessing the preaching, or was empowering the preaching. And the people received it. You know, if you preach, you can preach your heart out. If people don't receive it, it's no good. And the Spirit, some people turn the Spirit off. They don't want to be moved by the Holy Spirit or touched by the Holy Spirit. They are set in their way, they're going to stay that way, and come torment or flood. You may have another way of saying that, but they're going to remain that way. But Paul went to Thessalonica, he preached, the Holy Spirit empowered him, or empowered the preaching, or blessed the preaching, and the people received it. I don't know who can judge the preaching in this church. And I know some sermons probably have been anything but inspired and empowered. If you count 21 years come next Sunday, and do that times about 48 to 50, I'm not beginning to claim that I have hit it right every time. Be something special about me if I did. But one thing, the blessing of Ted Hatfield, he is being a new person to the church, has talked about really preaching the Word. And I take a lot of consolation in that. I grew up in a church that every Sunday the people would go out and say to the speaker, "Nice sermon, I enjoyed the sermon, etc., etc., etc." And I kind of downplayed this. Folks, sometimes you're not supposed to enjoy it. Please don't enjoy it. And you don't always have to say something. And I think I've kind of promoted to get people off the spot, because I said, I'm bummed out a few times. Maybe about 20 in 21 years, maybe. So you can figure that out. But that's the way it is. How's the preaching here? If it is not touching lives, if it's not bringing about some advancement in our relationship with God, if it's not bringing some people to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the leadership needs to take care of that situation. And we won't go any further in that, but the leadership needs to take care of that situation. The people at Thessalonica, they were good examples, or they imitated the good examples of the apostles and the ministers, Paul being the apostle, self-proclaimed, but still an apostle. The ministers of Jesus Christ. Paul had some helpers who were not considered apostles, but they were assistants, they were ministers, they were preachers, and they were living according to God's will as they understood it. They were good examples of what a Christian should be, and the people in Thessalonica were following the example of these who had come to teach them. Well, this is kind of probing, I guess. Probably not the best word in the ministry, or against the ministry. But I say it's so important, so very important, that we ministers and other church leaders, so important that we set a good example. We've got to. Well, I try to be here early. That's just one good example. About 12 minutes late this morning. I like to be here at 7 o'clock. Well, I didn't make it. I had to find something for Carol. She saw some deer out in the field across the road and said, "Where's our camera?" Well, I couldn't put my hand on it. So that made me 12 minutes late. Then the deer were gone by the time we found it. But it's right there the next time, see. That's just one good example. I tried to be faithful in worship. I've got a friend, and he was talking to me one day, and he says, "I just lambasted my people yesterday." He said, "I just fussed at them for missing church so often and not being committed." And it wasn't two sentences later that he said, "And I'm going to take off and go see grandchildren next week or something, you know. We're going to miss church next Sunday." But if you lambast the people and challenge them to be at church on Sunday, you better not miss yourself the next Sunday. I had a friend back at the Madison Church. He's dead and gone now. Sad thing, he took his own life. But he would rant and rave to me and anybody else that would listen about some people who would come to Sunday school and wouldn't come to morning worship. They'd go home. And then, or they'd come to Sunday school and would not come to Wednesday night services. I mean, he would say, "You've got to give 100%. Got to give 100%. Well, I think almost every time, this has been 30 years ago when this was happening, though, or almost, the next Wednesday night, he would have to work. And then he would rant and rave about, "Got to be there on Wednesday night in a Sunday school class," kind of pointing it at certain people. And then that next Wednesday night, he wouldn't be there. He was speaking one thing and doing another thing. So, but these people, they followed the example of the ministers and the other workers, the apostle, and we must set a good example. And some people have said to me, "Larry, is that really what Jesus would do?" And I've had to back off and say, "Well, I think he would, but if it's bothering somebody, it's really not that important that I do it." And there's two or three examples that I come to mind right now. They were willing to share in the suffering. They were willing to share in the suffering that they experienced. And Paul mentions this in this passage, but go back to read Acts chapter 17, and I believe it's verse 5 and following. And they took Jason, they even named this guy named Jason. They took him and were rough to him, the community was. Jason had become a believer. He had opened his home to Paul and his friends, and the townspeople that didn't want Christianity preached there, Christ preached there. And the Jewish leaders, I don't want to be anti-Semitic, but it's all right there. And they took him and treated him meanly. Read Acts 17. Others too. Not only did the people in Thessalonica follow the good example, they became good examples for other people. And the word spread. Word spread. Let me tell you, folks, this church is a good example. Especially in Columbia Presbyterian. But I got a note from a lady that I was in school with. And didn't know her real well, but speaking terms. Just a few weeks ago. And she said, "Just want to say that that church, talking about Jenkins Church, is doing a good job in that community. A lot more we can do." Did I have to say that? Couldn't I leave well enough alone? Well, no, I couldn't, I guess. But word spreads and spreads further. And hopefully somebody will see our example and say, "Well, we can do it too.
or we can do it a little better, or we can work harder.
And as Sam said, there's so much going on, sometimes we get lost in what's going on. Because of their good example, they embraced the gospel. That was one thing they did. I hope we're not just doing busy work. I hope we're embracing the gospel, and the gospel is having success among us. Many others, we hope, are encouraged to entertain or to hear the gospel, to believe in Jesus, and become willing to suffer for Him. And there was repentance. I mentioned repentance last week. I believe it was. We don't want to talk much about repenting. In the first century, people didn't want to give up anything that had been meaningful to them, especially even a false religion. They wanted to just add Jesus to one of their many gods. But the people in Thessalonica turned their back on the false gods and turned to the true and the living God. And this was Paul's testimony about them. Many of the ones who became Christian in this church were not like the many other people who would just add another god and another god. They repented of worshiping the other gods and turned to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember the missionary Stott family. Some of you remember the Stotts. They served in Japan for a number of years in my early years of ministry. They would come home and talk to us about the mission work. And one of the things I remember them saying in Japan is that the church, the new Christians there, it was difficult to get them to give up their other idols or their other gods. And that was one of the difficulties they had. Well, the same thing was happening in the Thessalonican community, but Paul said, these people, you people, he's writing to them, you have repented of those others. And they waited for Jesus to return. Matthew Henry says, one of the peculiarities of the Christian faith is to wait for the coming of Christ, or His second coming, believing that He will come and hoping that He will come to our joy. I still remember years ago I was trying to preach on He is coming again, or Jesus' second coming, and I tried to even tried to sing the song, He is coming again, He is coming again, with power and great glory, He is coming again. Well, after that, I've never even tried to sing again. There are some things in life that we do not need to be original in. We need a pattern, or we need an example, even Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, we know that there was much more good about the church in Thessalonica than we can present today. But Lord, we thank You for these things that are an example for us, their action, that we could look at and know that it was right and good. Thank You, Lord, for the Word coming to us in power. And thank You that we've been able to somewhat shape our lives by the blessed example of Jesus. And in His name we pray. Amen. Would you take your hymn book and turn to 379, and we're going to sing verses 1, 5, and 6. It's a commitment. Take my life and let it be. And I'm asking that we, as a church, can offer ourselves. Well, that really happens when we as individuals offer ourselves to God. So it's about 379, 1, 5, and 6. Lord, take our lives and let them be good examples for us. in the name of God, be good example of the Christian community. Amen.
We'll be in that 12 o'clock tomorrow. There is some time after
3:00. 6:00. It was.